something is wrong, and it's time to stand up. You are listening to The John Age Show.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age, and I'm happy to be with you once again. For once, not in the wee hours of the AM, I'm coming at you in the PM, folks, with a regularly scheduled program. It's just scary. We got Cheryl Todd with us today. She's going to get into all things firearms and firearm safety. But before we get into that, please check out AnomicAge.com if you've not already done so. Please like all the likes, subscribe to all the subscriptions. Share your links, friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. As I always say, you can go down there to the bottom, paypal.me/AnomicAge, patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. iPhone app, Android app, free newsletter, and so much more. It's all there at AnomicAge.com. I'm not going to belabor these points anymore today. I'm excited to speak with our guest. We're going to welcome Cheryl Todd into the program. She is the owner of azfirearms.com. She's a wife for over 30 years, mother, grandmother. Cheryl speaks to the value of our Second Amendment rights through the lens of self-protection and instilling those values in the generations to come. If I hadn't already said so, GunFreedomRadio.com also. She's the co-host with her lovely husband at GunFreedomRadio.com, so please check that out as well. We're excited to welcome Cheryl into the program. Thanks for being with us, Cheryl. How are you?
I am extra good for the opportunity to speak with you again and your audience. Thank you so much for having me on.
Indeed. Thank you so much for being on. It's like we were kind of speaking on this before, but we're like simpatico with this because I was thinking about you like the first person I thought of when this whole incident in Texas came about. And I've been meaning to reach out with you again anyway and see how you're doing and get you back on the show. But here we are. So thanks for being here.
Here we are. And, you know, it is interesting that you came to mind. And I think it's because, you know, of all of the podcasts out there, it seems like there's some that you just already know, you know, they're going to be totally against anything that's firearm related. And then there's some that, you know, they understand the value of firearms and self-defense. So there's nothing really new to add to their audience from my perspective necessarily. But then, you know, you and I, we kind of think about things around the edges, right? Sort of, you know, more the cause and effect and that sort of thing. And so you really did pop to my mind to say, I wonder how you are processing this and your audience is processing this horrible series of events that happened in Texas. And even, you know, the one thing is people say, you know, this shooter or the shooting that happened in Texas. And he's a murderer. Mm-hmm. He was committing murders. You know, there really is a distinction there because a lot of times people get locked up on the shoot part of things and the gun part of things and the tool part of things. And that's where they start trying to diagnose and seek answers and solutions. And it's really the wrong piece of the puzzle to spend so much of our time and energy focusing on. And I know that you are nuanced enough in your thinking, and I assume your audience as well, to be able to understand that without me feeling like I'm being irreverent or, you know, not taking the matter seriously.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, the whole thing, it's a horrible tragedy, and then once you start unpeeling it, it just gets worse. I mean, I covered this for days on the show. I mean, as soon as it happened, and then as things unfolded, you know, we got the initial timeline and the second timeline, and then the police chief ordering a stand down of sorts, and then you got this 45-minute window of what the devil's going on. I don't know where you want to go with this. I'm just throwing everything at the wall here. You got, you know, the police subduing parents trying to get in. You got two bold parents who actually were able to go in and get their children. I mean, it's, this whole thing, it just stinks. And here's the latest one. I was just going to put it up there, but from ABC News, Uvalde Police School District no longer cooperating with Texas probe on shooting, sources say. You got Abbott and Gonzalez calling for the FBI to be in charge of the whole thing. And I'm like, man, what could possibly go wrong with the FBI in charge of the whole thing? I don't know. There's so many different angles of this thing.
It's so true. And, you know, it's kind of there's a general rule, if you want to call it that, among several of us who, you know, speak publicly about these things, that we try to give 2 to 3 days before we say anything, if at all possible. And, you know, even the 2 to 3 day rule has fallen apart in this mess because, like you say, there are new timelines coming out and new bits of information coming out and things that conflict. And it's total madness. And trying to comment on the exact events or the timeline, I think, is a fool's errand for me, because the minute I say one thing specific about that, well, here's going to be, you know, some alternate, you know, bit of information that comes out. So I've kind of boiled it down to, you know, the truth of faster saves lives, right? The faster we can react in any emergency situation, the better the outcome is going to be. And so if the emergency is happening to me, then I am the one that can react the fastest. I mean, does that just sound logical? There's nothing shocking there, right?
It makes sense to me.
And so I'm a concealed carry holder. I've trained in order to do that. Here in Arizona, you don't have to have a specific license. We have constitutional carry in Arizona. But people who do carry, by and large, they understand that the better trained they are, the safer they're going to be for themselves, their household, their family, their neighborhoods, their state. And so those two things really do kind of go hand in hand. But being forced to have any kind of training is, I think, never a good idea, because then you take a right and create a permission-based system. Oops, that's not...
Hold on. Sorry about
that. That's okay.
Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
That's okay. So you have this permission-based system. So I'm not in favor of that. I know many, many trainers, they make their livelihood training. They don't agree that there should ever be a mandatory training for people in general to just exercise their rights. But there's a program out there that I am supporting, and I would like to talk to your audience about it, just to help them understand that we don't have to just sit back and accept, you know, status quo. We don't have to start infringing on people's rights with extra laws piled on top of laws so that we can enforce laws that don't end up getting enforced in the first place, which then creates a whole new cycle of needing more laws. And it goes back to what I just said, faster saves lives. There's a program out there called that. I am the president of the Arizona Citizens Defense League Foundation here in Arizona, and our mission is to bring this training that does have some have-tos in it, but it's a specialized training. And the word FASTER, it's an acronym. I'm going to look at my screen just so I say it right. It's for Faculty Administrator Safety Training and Emergency Response. So instantly people go, oh, that sounds like guns in schools. Oh, no, she's talking about arming teachers, and they get a little nervous and they start clutching their pearls a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this training is very specialized, and it is not for everyone. It is not just a let's line all teachers up and hand them a magazine full of ammo and a firearm they've never touched before. It's the farthest from that. This is a very well thought out program. It includes both armed and unarmed emergency response to a threat to stop the threat. Could you only imagine? 45 minutes, you said? There's this weird piece of the timeline in Texas mm-hmm. where this murderer was inside the school for 45 minutes. I've heard anywhere from 45 to 90 minutes, depending on who you talk to, depending on which timeline, that this murderer was inside of the school.
Yeah, I was trying to be conservative with the 45. Right? Yeah,
free reign to do whatever evil plan he had in his mind. And these totally defenseless babies, these little children, right? They can't do anything. But the adults that they've been entrusted to, the care of these adults, what can they do? They have not been empowered in that particular school to do anything other than to, you know, jump in front of the gun and try to stop the evil person from committing murders. Well, suppose if that person that is that brave is trained and has the tool of self-defense available to them safely in a very logical and trained manner, they could have stopped the threat immediately. How many lives would have been saved that day? That's what FASTER is about. I've taken the training myself. It is life-changing. This came out of Ohio just after Sandy Hook, so 10 years or so ago. It has been in play, not only in Ohio, but all across the nation, quietly saving lives for a decade. And if there was ever a negative event connected to one of these teachers that has taken this training, oh, guarantee you'd have heard of FASTER Saves Lives, right?
Of course.
The fact that it's one of the best kept secrets out there shows you that it's working. This murderer in Texas, he didn't pick a school that had trained and armed staff or trained and armed police officers. He chose a school that there was no possibility of pushback, and then was left in there for 45 minutes. So that is unacceptable. And the FASTER Saves Lives program, it, as I said, armed and unarmed response, we're trained for that. It is also, and this is the piece that I don't think anybody could say no to, it includes emergency medical training, and every single student who goes through the class gets one of these emergency medical kits. Hmm. It's part of the training. It has a tourniquet. How many lives are saved by just stopping the bleed? Just a tourniquet, a chest seal, right? Some control wraps, a little bit of tape, a pair of gloves, a pair of scissors. Right here in this package, this has actually saved lives. This has helped people that wasn't even like a murderer coming on campus. It was like somebody injured on a playground,
yeah.
Right? And one of the teachers who had this kit, had the training, knew exactly what to do, and lives were saved. Kids were kept safe. So this is a program that I am fully behind. I've taken the training, as I said, and they don't pass just anybody. So teachers have to, A, volunteer, and it can't just be somebody that's got, you know, maybe a Rambo complex or something. Yeah, yeah. Pick me, No, they have to volunteer, and they have to have the confidence of their peers, right? And so then they come and take the training. And I've seen people, they really want to do this. They really want to help kids on their campus, but they just maybe don't have the right heart set or the right mindset. And then they don't get certified in the training. And I've seen other people, myself included, that I couldn't pass the firearms portion. I missed it, certification by 2 points. And why that is so significant is because not only am I personal friends with the people who have put this training together, not only am I coming trying to bring this training to the state of Arizona, but I'm also a member of the media. And so if there was ever anybody that they wanted to kind of go, well, you know, that she was close enough. Let's go ahead and play nice. Oh, no. They said, I'm sorry. There's a pass and there's a fail. And you didn't make it this time. You can try again. And I respected that so much. And, you know, they wanted me to go ahead and do the firearms portion again while I was out in Ohio. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I am going to spread that message that this is not a joke. This is not an easy pass. And I think I can speak louder by saying, you know, I didn't pass. So this is tough. The certification, the qualifications are harder than even law enforcement have to pass. And that is an important message to get out there. It was devised by Dr. Dick Castor. He's one of the founders. And if you look at his resume, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's been working with, trained in psychology. He's been working with school resource officers for many years. And he understands all of the elements, the physical elements, the psychological elements, the medical elements. And this is a tremendous program, and I encourage everybody to check it out. It is fastersaveslives.org. And they are actually filling classes right now in Ohio, and we are working on building our next class here in Arizona.
I'm trying to look at it while you're talking because that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous program. And then the teachers, so it's in schools, it's in churches. Some businesses have come and taken the training. And the organizations that use this and have trained facility or faculty, that's very secret. We don't take pictures during the class.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Multiple different teachers, they all have the same level of training. They can act in whatever wing of the school that their classroom is in. They can help contain the children, and they can stop the threat. That is the biggest thing. And one of the pieces of the story out of Texas that I've heard, the chief of police said something like, there's no reason to go in because there's nobody else left alive in the school other than the bad guy.
That's
How could he possibly know that? There's no way to know that. And then there are 911 calls being made by some of the students, and we can hear people inside. So we know it's not true. So I don't know what was going on in that man's brain if this piece of the story ends up holding true. But one of the things that is so important in these situations is that there's a bad guy putting holes in people, right? If you can stop the bad guy from putting more holes in people, A, that's perfect. That's tremendous. That's stopping the threat. But then the EMTs cannot enter the school until the police have secured the situation, right? Mm-hmm. And so here we're sitting there for 45 minutes. I don't know what they're doing. But if there's nobody that has any training or supplies to be able to plug the holes that the bad guy has put in people, right, stop the bleeding, so many people in these instances, they would make it if we could just get them the care, get them to, you know, somebody with a tourniquet, much less a hospital, they would make it. But, you know, if you have a massive hemorrhage, you have really seconds. It comes down to a couple of minutes that you have to stop that bleed. And that is why they say faster saves lives. Time is not your friend in these situations. And, you know, the difference of a formal tourniquet or knowing how to use a phone cord or a T-shirt tied the right way or some improvised instrument to help, you know, using duct tape in a plastic bag if you need a chest seal. These are the things that we learn in this class. And it doesn't just necessarily translate to your school or your church or your place of business. That training goes with you everywhere you go. You could save your own child's life, your spouse's life, your parents' life. It's tremendous. And, you know, I'm not one of these people that says there ought to be a law because, you know, where that goes.
Of course.
But there should be a level of priority in people's minds. If not now, I don't know when, to say, yeah, this makes sense. Let's get the training, right? Let's just get the training. You don't have to use the training, but get the training.
It's an old adage, better have it to not need it than need it not have it, you know? So like, that would be nice to have the training. And I can't understand why, and this is just me being a jerk, but we're sending $60 billion to the Ukraine. But yet we still can't seem to get all of our schools trained, every single classroom having one of these medical kits in it, and at least basic medical training for teachers, staff, and the like. I mean, come on.
Well, one of the spokesmen, one of the founders of Faster Saves Lives, his name is Jim Irvine. He is a professional airline pilot by trade. And he said, this is personal for me. Twice, once from 9/11, when they attacked and murdered airline pilots and their guests on board the plane, their passengers, and also as a parent of children who go to schools. And so he says, if you know that you have the ability to be trained on, let's say, you know, Heimlich maneuver. We'll take it super simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a student who is choking. Recently, there was this video that went viral of a child who was drinking out of a water bottle. He had put a pinhole in the cap of the water bottle. He's squeezing the water bottle, and that cap went down his throat and lodged in his throat.
Great, man.
Right? So then he starts running around the classroom and then finally goes directly to the teacher. And then she knows what to do. So let's take that one. If anybody's seen that video. So let's say you're that teacher and you go, oh, you know what? I'm going to call 911. Right? That's negligence. Would you just call 911 and let this child stand in front of you and turn blue and choke to death? No, you would never do that. But somehow with these situations, everybody wants to take a hands-off approach. Well, I've got a phone. I called 911. I did my part. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, little Susie, if you have a gash in your leg or, you know, you're somehow, you know, having massive bleeding, I have no responsibility over that. How could you possibly be okay with that? If thing A is negligence, letting a child choke to death instead of using the Heimlich, or at least trying, right? At least try.
Yeah, try.
If that's negligence, then why is it not negligent to ignore this training that is available to people? A lot of times it's free. They get a lot of grants. In the state of Ohio, the Buckeye Firearms Foundation, they are even on their state budget. They get state money to help with this. So it is that serious and that important in the state of Ohio. I don't know why it isn't in every state.
Yeah, that was going to be my question is can we get this in other states? I mean, how can we make this happen in all 50 states, for heaven's sakes? You might not be the person to answer. I'm sure, you know, fastsaveslives.org can reach out to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is a faction of it in Colorado. We are trying to build a faction of it here in Arizona. And, you know, it just takes time to build something slowly and thoughtfully and carefully. And so it is just taking a bit of time to find people that are dedicated to doing the training and doing it exactly the same, right? We don't want people, you know, adding or subtracting things out of the training. And then finding states. I mean, can you imagine trying to put this in California or even New Mexico or,
no,
God forbid, New York? I mean, people, they look at you like you've got a third eye growing out of your head. And that's what's so puzzling to me, is why there aren't enough parents and teachers themselves in every state pushing for this and saying, look, we don't want to sit here. And if I'm a teacher, I don't want to be a sitting duck. And I love my students. I want to protect my students. And if I'm a parent, to just sit back and go, well, I don't really know what their safety protocol is, but I'm sure it's fine. What?
And I think, sadly, that's the problem. I mean, that's kind of why we are where we are, because everybody's kind of taking this absentee landlord approach to parenting, to the school system, to all forms of safety. And even kind of, like you said, people are just like, well, I called down 1-1, that's it. And like, no, what are you talking about? I mean, if this school shooting proved nothing, I mean, they should have learned this from the other litany of other ones where there was a stand down. But, I mean, here we go again. Like, the cops aren't going to save you all the time. In the best case scenario, cops are minutes away in a situation that requires seconds of action. So, in the best case scenario, we live in Mayberry. They're all benevolent, loving, constitutional, abiding by women and men. Even in that perfect utopia, they're not going to save you all the time. So, you know, we got to kind of, like, muster up that pioneer, we can do it, moxie. Like, I think people are taking the people part just out of it. They're like, the people. Like, no, it's all of us. It's participatory republic. We actually have to do our part, which means, saving the guy at the buffet if he's choking to death and, you know, helping out the kid if he skins his knee at the very least. Come on.
Boy, exactly. Very well said. And so the answer, you know, the do something crowd, you know, their answer is let's pile some more laws on. And I saw that Breitbart did an article yesterday. It's titled Democrats to Vote on 6 Gun Controls That Wouldn't Have Prevented the Uvalde Attack. You know, that can always be the headline. Every time they want to pass a law, you go back and you go, well, which one of these, if we could turn the clock back, would have stopped somebody who was dead set on murder, right? And then I go, well, gee whiz, if we could only make murder illegal, that would just solve it all, right? No, murder's already illegal everywhere. And these murderers do not care about your laws. And this particular person, he did not care so much that he went to the most defenseless among us. I mean, what law could possibly have impeded this person with what he wanted to do? None of them. And so the answer, the do something, the answer is to come in and pile on a bunch of feel good, sound good, common sensey, oh, so reasonable laws. And the name of the bill, that right there should make everybody raise an eyebrow, because if we didn't learn it from the Affordable Care Act, right, whatever they call it, look in the other direction. That's a note to all of us. And this is called Protecting Our Kids Act. Oh, isn't that delicious? Like, don't you just want to? Oh, it's so yummy. Because we all want to protect our kids. So if you say no to this act, what kind of hateful, evil person are you? Mm-hmm. Right? If you don't want affordable care, you're just hateful. And that's the trickery that too often they get people to buy in who really haven't taken the time to understand what is behind these feel-good words. And so some of the things they want to do, they want to raise the age to 21 that you can't own any kind of firearm, because you can own a long gun at the age of 18. Why is that? Well, maybe because you can go in the military at 18. I don't know.
That might be it, yeah. They're doing a lot more than just long guns if you're in the military, depending on your MOS.
True.
Yeah.
True that, right? But so you can go in the military. You can be trained on long guns and handguns. You can be a sharpshooter. You can be like top of your class. You come home on leave. Does that knowledge come home with you? No. Nope. And even if you live on base, somehow they're so confident in their training of the knowledge that they gave you that, they might have changed that recently, but I don't think so, that you cannot have firearms in your home if you live on base. And it's like, what upside down world is this? That, you know, when you are trained, that becomes part of your mindset and heart set and the way that you interact with the world. And it's like me going from the state of Arizona, where we have some of the most constitutional rights still in place, thanks in large part to the Arizona Citizens Defense League. Mm-hmm. And then I cross that man-made imaginary border into the state of California because maybe I want to go to the beach or take the grandkids to Disneyland. And suddenly something happens to me right there at the border. I don't have any training. I become maybe a homicidal maniac or somebody that cannot be trusted with a firearm. Now, what if I have one foot on either side of the border? Then what? Like, I'm legal. I'm going to jail. I'm totally fine. I have no morals, right? Like, it's nuts. The craziest thing. It really is. And so, this changing the age to 21, we need to decide, when are we adults? I was married at 18. I've been married all this time. We just celebrated our 37th. Stop doing the math right now.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. 37th wedding anniversary. I was married at 18. I was a business owner by the time I was 19. I owned two homes by the time I was probably 19 and a half, maybe 20, because we owned one when we got married and then we bought a second one. All that time, I'm not really an adult, right? I could sign these documents, right, that are legally binding, right? Buying a home, I could be sued, all the things, but can't be trusted to protect my own one and only God-given life. I mean, how does that make any sense whatsoever? And so this whole, they try to make it shocking that, why are 18-year-olds allowed to buy a firearm? Well, why are 18-year-olds allowed to sign their lives away?
Yes, because in they're the not form all of... insane.
Yeah.
Some of them, yes, not all of them.
Exactly. And then so those of us that do have morals, that do want to have training, that do value human life, get out of the way and leave us alone. And so there are more of us to deter, right, just by the nature of being. And that's one of the things I wanted to say about Faster Saves Lives also, is that the other side, they use statistics, very dishonestly. Let's just say it that way. So if I'm a law-abiding citizen and I have to stop the threat, somebody breaks in my home, is attacking me, trying to kill me, and I shoot him and or her and stop the threat. Well, the anti-rights people, right, the Every Town for Gun Safety and the Moms Demand Action, they take that piece, that statistic, and they pad the thing that they say about gun violence. Look at all these incidents of gun violence. Well, I guess the guy that I had to stop probably felt like I was using violence against him, but I wasn't the aggressor, right? There's a huge difference between defense and aggression, but they take all the stats and they try to make it look, and 2/3 of the stats that they use anyway are suicides, which are tragic any way you slice it. But it's made to sound like, there's all these aggressive instances out there involving firearms. And, so many of them are just despair. They're just despair turned inward. But the whole idea that, I lost my track of thought, but when we were talking about how they use the stats incorrectly, when that comes back to my mind, I will jump back on that train. Yeah, I apologize.
I mean, while you were talking, it's kind of a little bit odd, but I was thinking how they infuse the movies, televisions, and everything else with this anti-gun propaganda. Because I'm a huge fan of like 70s and 80s era movies and to a lesser extent TV shows. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it because almost every single incident that I've ever seen in a movie, film, TV show, what have you, where there's a situation where somebody's going to get a gun and they need one right away and they go into whatever the gun store is and we need a gun. Well, that's going to take 30 days or that's going to take. And then, well, here's another couple hundred. Well, don't worry about it. We'll just give you the gun, right? You know, and they always make it seem so simplistic to get a weapon illegally, obviously, in these various narratives. But and I'm sure it is. I'm not speaking for every gun owner out there or every provider or seller, distributor, whatever you want to put on there. But I've just never experienced that. And I'm not talking about illegal out of somebody's car in a back alley. I'm talking about like these are narratives portrayed as people just going in a gun store like, oh, I need this gun because I'm a whatever I've been done wrong and I'm going to go be a vigilante and yo-ho, you know. And it's always that same narrative. I've never seen any narrative in any movie that is a real-life exchange at a gun store. Never. Never.
It's very boring. It's not dramatic.
It's never been like that. I mean, this is anecdotal. I know everybody's going, well, that's not a reality. But yeah, I went to a big box store about like 2 months ago to get some BBs. My daughter's got like a Red Ryder BB gun. We're in the backyard, you know, just plinking at cans and such. And we're getting low. So I went to one of these big box, not a gun store, but the big blue and the yellow. I think we all know where we're going here. But yeah, I went in there and I got carded. I got carded for BBs.
BBs.
For BBs.
Oh my god.
And
gosh.
I was going, these are like the copperhead BBs for a BB gun. It's not even talking a pellet gun. Nothing that requires more than one pump. You only get one pump on the Red Ryder BB gun. But yeah, I got carded for BBs and I was going, man.
We've just gone stupid, John.
I must look younger than I thought. I mean, I look I guess 16. I don't know. Even if I were 16, we're talking about BBs here. So, I don't know. I know that's totally anecdotal and somewhat off topic, but I was thinking about just the portrayal of guns and their use in movies and their ease to get and everything else. I'm like, this is just such hogwash. But, I mean, multiple generations have been brought up with this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to play the clip, but the audio is so bad from yesterday. It was Biden. It wasn't even a press conference. It looked like he was on the lawn. And the helicopter presidential was behind him, obviously running, kind of distorting the clarity of the audio. But he was basically saying that a 9mm round would blow someone's lungs out of their body. And I am not a ballistics expert. I'm not an armor.
I'm not a doctor.
Any
I don't
of that,
play one on TV. You know, but I'm pretty sure I know that's not true.
I know that is complete hogwash. And I know you have a lot more experience probably than myself in that realm, considering you've had this business for quite some time. You've done extensive training in this. And I think you could even go out on a limb and say that a 9mm round will not blow your lungs out of your body. That's just not possible.
Now, and so here's what I want to, you know, when you, again, you go, well, do I want to argue that or do I want to boil it down and say, look, if firearms are a tool of self-defense, right?
Yeah.
Then self-defense is not about killing. It is about stopping the threat. So if I want to stop the threat that has been aggressed towards me, right? There is a life-threatening situation in front of me, and I want to stop that threat. Then who wants to tell me what I need in that situation, what caliber of firearm I can handle safely, right? And let's say bad guy is trying to do life-threatening things to me, and I have a 9mm, and it does blow his lung out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like tragic for him, but he was the aggressor. I am stopping the threat. And that's another thing is blowing the lung out of the body. Well, that would say that the projectile is going through the mass in front of you. Mm-hmm. You really don't want that, right? Because then you can end up harming the person behind bad guy. And so now there are these kinds of bullets that have gotten a really bad name, right? Hollow Point.
Super
Clutch
scary.
My pearls. Hollow Point, right? Frangible. Oh, dear. Those actually are safer because they are not over-penetrating and going through sheetrock in your house and going, you know, through bad guy and into the person that you're exactly trying to save from bad guy. And so there's so much more to this that the other side, they use these dramatic phrases and terms. And we have the president of the United States. I mean, he says a lot of nonsense. But I guarantee you there's going to be people out there that this is the thing they choose to say. Yes, the president said it, so it's true.
Of course. And it's right? Just it's disinformation or misinformation, however you want to look at it. So, I mean, there's those people out there that have never even looked at a gun before. They're going, oh, Biden's talking about this 9mm. It's going to blow people apart. And it's just, it's more the same, kind of like the movies. Like, oh, you can just roll into any gun store and pick up, you know, a Mac 10 full auto today. I mean, I can get that right now probably. Yeah, that's it.
Might as well get him through the mail, because isn't that during Obama's term, who was it? The guy in charge of the FBI, the really tall guy that
was that Holder?
Think was such
or am I mistaken? I don't know. I'm thinking Eric Holder.
No, not Eric Holder. The other guy. I can't think of his name right now. Mr. He just looked like such a Boy Scout, and it turns out he was such a snake in the grass.
He
was being questioned on the floor of Congress about, you know, well, what about online sales? And he's like, yeah, I don't really know the process for that. And I'm like, okay,
James Comey. Comey.
Thank you. That's the one. And I'm sitting there going, wait, as a firearms store owner, a federal firearms licensee, I have to know. And you're the guy that's in charge of the organization that's going to come and do legal bad things to me if I don't know, and you're just going to sit there and say, oh, I'm not sure about that, because the truth of it is you don't just sit at home and click a couple of buttons and the UPS guy brings you your gun to your door. And that's what they want the public to believe. So if he had to debunk that, he didn't want that, right? Because his boss at the time certainly didn't want that. He wanted people to think that people are on eBay or Amazon. I don't know what they think. And they're just clicking buttons. And the next thing they know, here comes the UPS or FedEx truck to their front door and hands them their new firearm, you know, without a background check. And that's not the case. It goes from FFL dealer, federal firearms licensee, to FFL dealer. It's the only way you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who bought it goes in to their local FFL dealer, fills out all of the 4473 FBI background check, and then the FBI are the ones who say, release the firearm, right? There's a pass.
Mm-hmm.
There's a don't release the firearm. And then, you know, most often the person knows why they're not having the firearm released, or it's a false negative, and those happen far too often, and then they would have to contact the FBI. Or a delay. The FBI says, well, this person, maybe their name is pretty similar to a lot of other people's. We want to look a little bit further. But it's the FBI who makes that determination and that decision. No one else, right? And so mm-hmm. then when these horrible things happen, I don't know why somebody somewhere hasn't gone back and gone, well, wait a minute. If we're going to sue gun manufacturers and we're going to sue people standing behind the store counter, you know, just mom and pop trying to make a living and follow all the rules. Why is nobody going, wait a minute, why don't we go to the entity that gave the green light on this? Why are they not culpable? Everybody else is culpable. And then the FBI is like, well, we didn't pull the trigger. The evil bad guy did. And we go, yes, exactly. Thank you. Right?
That makes perfect sense to me, but
everybody's fault except for the bad guy who pulled the trigger.
It's the same reason they won't go after the pharmaceuticals who are giving all these people these murder pills under the guise of mental health. We'll just give you these mental health pills that'll just coincidentally side effects homicidal and suicidal tendencies. No problem there.
Well, when all the major news, I always have to use air quote, news outlets when commercial after commercial after commercial is for some kind of pharmaceutical. That's who's paying the bills to keep these people on the air. Do you think that the newscaster can get on there and start reporting about negative effects of the stuff that their major bill payer is pumping out? Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Of course not.
So, but people don't put these, draw these lines together. And in some ways, I don't fault people because life is busy and there's always so much coming at us all the time. And it's too easy when it's already prepackaged for us. Here's what happened at the Texas school. Here's the solution for what happened to the Texas school. It's easier to just swallow that down and go, well, somebody's got it. Somebody's got this under control. I'm going to go back to my busy life. And if we ever had the freedom to do that, we do not have the freedom to do that anymore. If we didn't see what happened through all of this COVID craziness, not just in the United States and not just in certain states in the United States, but our neighbors to the north, Canada. I mean, and like, I don't know if you said, did you say Trudeau on the air or was it when we were chatting?
Yeah,
off
I got
air?
I got the Trudeau video if you want to watch like a 2 minutes
yes.
of it. Let's hear
yes.
from our fearless leader, Trudeau. Hold on. I think I got this pulled up. Let me see. All right. Should be. Oh, I paused him. That's the problem. Let me see. That's who interrupted you earlier. I didn't tell you. It was Trudeau. Here we go.
Legislation to implement a national freeze on handgun ownership. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. In other words, we're capping the market for handguns. We're also fighting gun smuggling and trafficking by increasing maximum.
I'll pause him. I can't take too much Trudeau. But yeah, in essence, no more handguns, no more selling, no more buying, no more trading, no more. And they'll have a buyback program. That's the good part because everybody is, oh, this is great. You know, they did the gas for guns thing a couple weeks ago in California, and they were just getting all kinds of guns because they just hiked up the gas prices to like $9 a gallon. So
here in the United States, it's well documented. Even the CDC has documented and supported these numbers that at least 2.5 million times every single year, lives are saved. Why? Because of a responsibly armed citizen. So, and 200,000 times each year, a woman prevents sexual assault because she's a responsibly armed citizen. So Trudeau is saying, too bad. So sad. All you 2.5 million. And that's an incident. That's 2.5 million incidents. How many lives are saved in each of those incidents? And people like Trudeau are completely negating and ignoring all of that. And that just helped me remember what I was going to say earlier.
Perfect.
That so the other side uses even, you know, perfectly logical and reasonable defense to pad their gun violence. Those of us that are out here practicing effective self-defense and safety measures, there's no way to ever know how many incidents were stopped just by the fact that maybe a school has trained teachers through the FASTER program or some other effective program. It doesn't have to be FASTER. I just have taken that training and I fully believe in it. We will never know how many bad guys were deterred, how many negative incidents never happened because of this true safety and security. I mean, strength, peace through strength, right?
Yeah.
And so we never get to tell the whole story. In some ways, thankfully, right? Because our methods are working. So we don't know how, you can't prove a negative, right? We don't know how many times we've saved lives, but there are documented 2.5 million at least. And that number is from several years ago before we had the huge purchasing trend through the COVID season and the riot season, when people realized, no, I am my own first responder. I am the only one who's going to be able to stop this threat. And I believe that number, if we took it today, would probably be quite a bit higher. But it's insulting. Canadian citizens should be insulted. The truckers who showed up because they said, you are not going to call the shots about how I live my personal life inside of my own body. They should have that same energy to show up again and say, you don't get to do this. You know, you can do a lot of other things, Mr. Trudeau, but this is one you don't get to create this scenario where only people who care nothing about laws are the ones who are going to have these tools.
That's a fact. That's the truth. Well, I know you got to go in a second, and this is a bizarre question to leave us on, I'm sure, but how far down the road do you think this thing's going as far as what Biden might pull? I mean, in my opinion, he's probably going after different calibers. That's kind of what he was setting the stage for, I think. But, I mean, Lord only knows. I mean, if we're going to have height requirements, are we going to say you're too old, you're too young? I mean, too young, I can understand, but I mean, I don't know. It's looking crazy.
Well, he'll go as far as we the people allow him to go, because, you know, you go back to when the Constitution was written, and what did Benjamin Franklin say? At least legend has it that some woman called across, well, what do we have? And he said, it's a republic if you can keep it, right? The only promise is eternal vigilance. We have to constantly be holding the line and pushing back to the original line where our founders fought, bled, starved, and died to create a place of freedom and individual liberties. And I think... So I guess I have two thoughts. One is this whole national conversation that we've been having for several years about the AR-15, the Armalite 15, right? Too many people think the AR stands for assault rifle. It does not. It's a great marketing job that the left has done and the anti-rights have done, but it's the Armalite 15. We've had this conversation about the big, bad, scary black rifle because... if you're not familiar with it, then you maybe start going, wow, yeah, well, maybe that one. Maybe we don't need that one. Well, that one, you know, what did Biden just say? That his doctor friend told him that a 22 caliber bullet would get stuck in the lung? Like somehow the yeah. lungs can collect 22 bullets, but a 9mm will blow the lung out? Well, the Armalite 15, the AR-15, is very similar in size to a 22. So mm-hmm. that right there can cause people to pause and think. But if we can get people, they can get people to start doing the head bob, oh yeah, well maybe that one gun, maybe we don't need that AR-15. Well, that is all they need to start saying, well, wait a minute, those are semi-automatic in function, which means it's a one-to-one ratio, one trigger pull for one projectile. And you know what? That's the same as a Glock. That's the same as a Sig Sauer. That's the same as any other functionality. It's the same. And some of those are these 9mm. So maybe the head needs to bob and let's get rid of those. Well, if we're going to get rid of 9mm, we might as well get rid of mm-hmm. the rest of them.
And slippery slope and then begins.
We end up right where Trudeau, with a stroke of a pen, who formed a government that's possible? That one dude with a stroke of a pen can just impact all these lives. Well, thankfully, our founding fathers did not form that kind of government. But we have been acting as though we have the Canadian-style government for far too long. And we, the people, need to speak up. We need to support our elected officials. Some of them are politicians, and those are the ones that we really need to vote out and push back on, if our votes count for anything, but that's a different show.
That's a truth.
And here in Arizona, we were having a hearing on the True the Vote, the group that their information came to put together the 2000 Mules movie. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen that yet, but I understand it's very impactful and compelling. So we were having a hearing on the information, and the Democrats stopped the hearing so that they could reintroduce a bill that they had already run earlier in the year that was null and void, dead, not supported, brought it back up thinking they could capitalize on the emotion and to deflect from the hearing that they were having. Anyway, it got voted down, and then they had to go back to doing the True the Vote hearing. But it's like they're just shameless, and they never take a nap. And so those of us that value our rights, we have to be more involved, and we have to support people who are truly public servants, push back on people who have no idea that the Constitution even exists, even though they've taken an oath, right, to support it and protect it. That is the only path forward, the only path forward. Otherwise, we might as well just move to Canada and let Trudeau run our lives for us.
Good grief. I hope not.
I hope not, too.
Well, Cheryl, it's been amazing as always. Where can folks find you and support you in all that you do?
Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you for having me on today. I love our conversations. I need to have you on Gun Freedom
Anytime.
Radio.
Yeah. Anytime.
Awesome. And so gunfreedomradio.com is where you can find all of the shows that I've ever had. You click the on-demand tab and binge listen to your heart's content. And then if you click the guest tab, you get to see photos and bios of all the subject matter experts that we have on. We are an interview-style show like this. We bring people on who have a particular level of knowledge about their area of the world, and I've learned so much. I know my audience has as well. We have a video version of all of our shows on YouTube, at least so far. They haven't kicked me off just yet. Or gunstreamer.com. That is a more of a two-way friendly, firearm-friendly version of YouTube. And lots of different places. The azcdl.org. You don't have to be an Arizona citizen to be a member and to support the work that we do, but we are the watchmen on the wall. We are the guard dogs in the state legislature. The AZCDL Foundation is who's bringing Faster Saves Lives to Arizona. And you can check out FasterSavesLives.org and just check out right there in Ohio. If you're closer to Ohio than Arizona, you know, get signed up on one of their classes. But the azcdlfoundation.org is the place that we are taking a list of names of people who are interested in getting that training here in Arizona. But and then our gun shop, azfirearms.com, it's now, and we're just selling all the guns through the auction. We've okay. given up the retail portion, so it's azfirearmsauctions.com, where you set the price on guns, ammo, and accessories.
That sounds great. I love it.
Thank Perfect. You so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Well, if you'll stick around for about 5 seconds, or I'll close things up and say goodbye to you off the air.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. Whew. Well, folks, that was amazing as always. We got to talk to Cheryl more often. All right, folks, in case you missed any of this or just want to watch it all over again, AnomicAge.com is where you can find today's episode, the video, the audio in its full-fledged entirety. So fear not, in case you just caught half of it on Facebook or one of the other platforms I'm not kicked off of yet. So you can go to AnomicAge.com and find me there. As I always say, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So please try to get out there and do your part and make a difference. Until next time, be safe out there. I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anomic Age. I'm gonna go to the next one.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age Project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm gonna go to bed.